Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Night Tales Creepypasta podcast. You can also watch these stories with visuals and extra content on my YouTube channel, and I strongly encourage you to subscribe while you're there. Now, here comes today's story. I hope you enjoy it. The rain came out of nowhere. 1 minute, I was walking home under a grey but dry sky, and the next, it felt like the heavens had opened up. I didn't even have time to pull up my hood before I was soaked to the bone. The streets were deserted, no surprise there. Anyone with sense had ducked into their homes or a pub the second the clouds started rolling in. Me, I was stuck halfway down Chapel Lane with no umbrella and no shelter in sight. I tightened my coat around me and trudged on, feet splashing through puddles. The streetlights were flickering weakly, their glow swallowed by the thick mist hanging in the air. I knew this village like the back of my hand. Every street, every corner. But in that moment, it all felt strangely unfamiliar, like I'd wandered into a place that looked like home but wasn't. Then I saw it. At the far end of the lane, where I was sure there'd only ever been boarded up shops and crumbling brick walls, was a store I didn't recognize. Warm, golden light spilled out from its windows, illuminating the rain in strange, shimmering patterns. The sign above the door swayed gently in the wind, though I couldn't make out the words from where I stood. The window display was what caught my attention. It was cluttered with odd objects. A phonograph that looked older than my grandparents. A silver mirror so tarnished it barely reflected anything. And a single candle burning inside a glass jar. None of it made sense. I stopped in my tracks, rain dripping from my hair and running down my face. This shop shouldn't be here. I'd walked this street 1,000 times and I'd never seen it before. But the rain wasn't letting up, and my shoes were already soaked through. Standing there, gawking, wasn't going to help. I took a breath, crossed the street, and stepped through the door. The bell above me chimed softly as I entered. Warmth hit me like a wave. The air smelled faintly of lavender and something else. Wood polish, maybe? The room was cramped but cozy, with shelves lining every wall, each one crammed with strange and mismatched items. A flickering gas lamp cast long shadows across the floor, and somewhere in the back, I could hear the steady tick of a clock.
"Good evening,"
a voice called out. I turned toward the counter and saw the shopkeeper. They were older, maybe in their 60s, dressed in a sharp suit that looked like it belonged in an old black and white photo. Their smile was small, polite, but their eyes. There was something about their eyes. It wasn't unkind, but it wasn't comforting either. "Terrible weather, isn't it?" they said. "Come in, come in. You'll catch your death standing out there." I hesitated. I didn't know this shop was here," I replied. Their smile widened just a fraction. "Most people don't until they need it," he replied. The shop felt timeless. That's the only way I can describe it. It wasn't just the old-fashioned decor or the faint smell of lavender. It was the way everything seemed placed with purpose, like each object was waiting for someone. I let my eyes wander as I stepped deeper inside. The shelves were crammed with strange and fascinating items. A dusty globe with no markings. A wooden box carved with intricate symbols. A clock with hands that moved backward. None of it made sense, yet I couldn't look away. "Take your time," the shopkeeper said from behind the counter. Their voice was calm, unhurried, like they had all the time in the world. I nodded, but didn't reply. Something about them put me on edge. Not in a threatening way, but like they were watching too closely, seeing too much. I kept my focus on the shelves. One item caught my attention almost immediately. It was small and unassuming, tucked away behind a row of glass jars. A pocket watch. Its surface was scratched and the chain was tarnished, but there was something about it, something familiar. I reached for it without thinking, my fingers brushing against the cold metal. "You've got an eye for that one," the shopkeeper said, their voice startling me. I turned, feeling oddly self-conscious. I don't know why, but it feels like I've seen it before. They smiled faintly, their hands folded neatly on the counter. "Perhaps you have. The shop tends to find people when they need it most, and it shows them what they've left behind." I blinked. "What does that mean?" I asked. They didn't answer right away, just stepped out from behind the counter and gestured toward the pocket watch. "Go ahead, take it. It's meant for you." I hesitated. "I don't have any money on me right now." The shopkeeper waved a hand dismissively. "No charge. Consider it a gift." The way they said it sent a chill down my spine, but I couldn't bring myself to leave the watch behind. I turned it over in my hands, running my thumb across the scratched surface. There was an engraving on the back, faded, but still legible. "Time lost is never found again." I swallowed hard. "Why would you just give this to me?" They tilted their head slightly, their expression unreadable. "Because it's already yours. The rain decides what happens next." "The rain?" I asked. "You'll see," they said, their tone light, almost playful. "But remember, once you leave, there's no coming back." Something about their words made my stomach twist, but the warmth of the shop, the comforting smell of lavender, it dulled my unease, made me feel like whatever they were saying didn't matter. I slipped the pocket watch into my pocket and stepped toward the door. "Good luck," the shopkeeper called as I opened it. The rain hit me like a curtain, cold and unrelenting. I turned back toward the shop, wanting one last look, but it was already gone. In its place was nothing but the same damp, crumbling brick wall I'd walked past 100 times before. The rain was relentless as I stood there, staring at the spot where the shop had been. Just moments ago, it had been a warm, glowing haven against the storm. Now it was gone. The door, the windows, the sign, everything vanished as if it had never been there. I told myself I wasn't imagining it. I couldn't be. My hand was still in my coat pocket, gripping the pocket watch. It was real, solid, heavy. I shook my head and turned back toward the street. The rain was starting to let up, and I could just make out the faint glow of the streetlights through the mist. I took a deep breath and told myself to keep moving. Whatever the shop was, whoever that shopkeeper was, it didn't matter. I'd go home, dry off, and forget about it. But as I walked, something felt off. It started small. A bench that had always been green was now painted blue. A familiar bakery on the corner was boarded up, its windows dark and lifeless. I frowned, trying to remember if it had gone out of business recently, but the thought slipped away before I could hold on to it. The rain finally stopped by the time I reached my street. The air was thick with the smell of wet pavement and something else, something faintly metallic. I chalked it up to the storm and kept walking. Then I saw my house. At first glance, everything looked normal. The windows glowed with warm light, and I could see the faint outline of my favorite chair through the living room curtains. But as I stepped closer, I noticed something that made my stomach twist. The house number was wrong. It was subtle. Instead of 27, the number on the door read 29. I stopped dead in my tracks, staring at the number on the door. 29. That wasn't my house. My house was 27. I looked up and down the street, my heart racing. Everything else seemed right. The same flower beds, the same lampposts, but the numbers on the houses were all shifted, like someone had taken my street and shuffled it just enough to throw me off. I swallowed hard and stepped closer to the door. My key was already in my hand, but when I tried to fit it into the lock, it didn't go in. It didn't even come close. "Can I help you?" The voice made me jump. I turned to see a man standing behind me, holding a set of keys. He was in his late 40s, with a friendly but confused expression. "I'm sorry," I stammered. This is my house." He frowned. "I think you've got the wrong address, mate." He gestured toward the door. "I've lived here for years. You sure you're not lost?" "No," I said, more to myself than to him. "No, this is my house. I've lived here my whole life." The man's confusion turned to concern. "You all right? You look a bit pale." I didn't answer. My mind was racing. My hand instinctively went to the pocket watch, and I gripped it tightly, hoping it would somehow make sense of what was happening. But it didn't. I mumbled an apology and backed away, my heart pounding. I didn't know where to go or what to do. The street, the houses, the people. It was all wrong. Not completely, but just enough to make me feel like I was dreaming or losing my mind. And then I remembered the shopkeeper's words. "The rain decides what happens next." I wandered the streets for hours, searching for something, a sign, a clue, anything that could explain what was happening. But the harder I looked, the stranger everything seemed. Familiar places had shifted. People I knew didn't recognize me, and every time I tried to tell myself it was just exhaustion or stress, I'd hear that voice in the back of my mind, Once you leave, there's no coming back. By the time the rain started again, I was standing at the end of Chapel Lane, staring at the brick wall where the shop had been. The storm was heavier this time, the kind of rain that stings your face and soaks through everything. But I stayed there, rooted to the spot. I couldn't bring myself to move. Something told me I'd find an answer here. I didn't know what, I just knew. And then I saw it. Low on the wall, glinting faintly in the dim light, was a brass plaque. It hadn't been there before, I was certain of it. My hands shook as I crouched down to read it. The engraving was simple, the letters sharp and unforgiving. This shop appears to those seeking change. Your old life has been sold. No refunds. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the story. And remember, there's a new original story coming out next Friday. If you did enjoy it and want to support the podcast, feel free to check out my Patreon link for ad-free episodes and early access. And please don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. You'll find the link in the show notes. The Night Tales Creepypasta podcast is available on most major podcast platforms, including Spotify, Amazon, and Apple Music. That's it for this week. Thanks again, and see you next time.